admit I'm a star. I'm on the moon, I'm getting old, I'm breaking out.
Okay, we're back here at K108. It is, 7 after the hour of 8 o'clock on this Sunday morning. It's time once again for the Carol Cox Show. And today, Carol Cox has a guest from the Hawaii Automobile Dealers Association. His name is Dave Rolfe. He's the executive director. And we'll learn more about the clunkers, cash for clunkers. So let's go to Carol. Hi, Carol.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, Francis. And welcome, Dave. I'm glad you joined me here to talk about cash for clunkers. And folks out there, this is not a paid commercial. Consistent with what we like to do here is to educate you and provide you not just a sound bite, an opportunity to learn more. And if you're like me, I have a clunker that I wanted to get rid of and get me a better car, better mileage, but I learned along the way it's not that easy. It is easy, but there's certain things that you have to understand and know about the project. And so I invited Dave Rolfe in to share with you folks, if you're out there and you're interested, and we'll talk about some of the environmental benefits and the financial benefits and all of that, that Mr. Obama, or President Obama, I'm sorry, I'm starting to sound, it's President Obama, that has found it necessary to try and stimulate both the economy and protect the environment. I mean, again, understand out there now, I'm not saying that this is the cure for all. Because you go down and trade your car in for clunkers, it's going to take many things. A combination of less driving. Start to incorporate public transportation. Carpooling. All of these things add up, huh, Dave?
You sure do. In fact, we carpool more here in Hawaii than any other state in the union.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, if you have any questions out there and something you didn't understand about cash for clunkers, feel free to call in at Carol Cox. .com. It'll be 524-1080. 524-1080. All right, Dave, what's the biggest thing you'd like to say about this program? Is it beneficial to the community here, or the state, or what? How would you categorize it?
Well, it certainly rejuvenated the car industry, but for consumers, the biggest thing that I'd like to say is that it adds two words: purchasing power.
Mm-hmm.
Something you might not have had recently with the economy, but now with as much as $4,500 on the hood of a new car,
mm-hmm,
and the chance to get rid of an older car that uses more fuel, a guzzler, it used to be called cash for guzzlers, but I think the alliteration of cash for clunkers worked a little bit better. Certainly has been a popular phrase.
Right. And this program is duplicating, this has taken place in other countries, right? And where?
It has, with a great deal of success. In Germany, they started the program. It was a $2.1 billion equivalent program there. It was so successful in Germany that they moved it up to a $7 billion program. And that's increased sales there in the month of March, I understand, June, too, 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think of all the German cars and how much that country of 80 million people. Now, that was a country about the third the size of ours, but that started off with a program twice the size of ours and then grew one to sevenfold.
So the Obama administration is attempting to duplicate it because of the success of that, and how did it come to be?
Well, a number of years ago, people started pushing for this idea. It has been done in other states, too. Texas did it quite successfully with about $20 million some time ago. And then with the recent downturn in the economy and having the manufacturing base be so reliant upon the automobile, places like Germany and other places in Europe started off doing it with a great deal of success. And so I think then our Congress started to look at it also. The administration proposed it. Even here in the islands, we had been talking about it for 3 years, though. Damian Farias on Maui, who's a Maui Toyota dealer, had talked about cash for clunkers 3 years ago. I wrote it in our magazine. So it's been around for quite a while.
So it's nothing new, but it's just a good thing to start in implementing that.
Well, it certainly is new in the way of implementation, and I seldom use the term fantastic, but this was fantastically successful.
Yeah. Now, in my early looking around at this and trying to understand cash for clunkers, I noticed that the cars will be brought in, or the clunkers will be brought in, and can you describe, initially there was going to be sodium silicate to be placed in the engine. Just walk us through that and what was happening, what was intended. And
sure, Carol.
Did you have any problems?
Well, it goes back to the problems they had in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
In Germany, there were not provisions put in place to ensure that the car's motors were disabled,
mm-hmm.
permanently disabled.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those cars showed up, we understand, in Africa and then eventually back into Germany. So the program didn't solve what it was trying to do as much as they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
The administration put in quite a few protections to ensure that those cars didn't get back on the road. And the quickest way to disable the engine, they found, was to put a sodium silicate solution in place of the oil in the vehicle, run it for 7 to 10 minutes, and that kills the engine. I mean, permanently.
Dead. It's frozen.
It's dead.
So we don't have to worry about going through the front door and coming out the back door and seeing driven down the road in Tennessee or
not so much here
Ghana or anywhere.
Not so much here in the U.S. In fact, there's a $15,000 penalty on a dealer if the car, if there's any involvement in the car showing up again, that there was intent to do that. So, of course, dealers want to avoid that at all costs, and so they're going to great lengths to make sure those cars are disabled. Then the cars are stripped of some of the products that the people will resell, the salvage yards will resell, and eventually taken to a previous guest of yours, I understand, at Schnitzer Steel, where they're shredded.
I see. And then that is turned into small bits of steel and other metals, and then in turn we see it back in the forms it's being recycled.
In the form of, and then it comes back as steel again. In fact, the automobile, we think of recycling aluminum cans, but the automobile is the most recycled product in America.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your opinion, so far, as it relates to Hawaii, is it a success?
Oh, yes. In fact, we had dropped from 70,000 new cars sold in 2005. We were going to average about 33,000 new cars this year. That's off by half.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Clunkers program brought thousands of people back into the showrooms.
Mm-hmm. And so are we selling the stock that we, the inventory that we already have, or is this causing new, manufacturing?
It has helped the factories get rolling again.
Okay.
In fact, very much like the GM offering zero interest financing after 9/11, people thought that the American factories would just shut down, but GM stepped to the plate and followed by Ford and Chrysler in doing that zero interest financing. By putting forward this Cash for Clunkers program, it's helped get factories that were somewhat stalled out back rolling again.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it encourages dealers to sell the cars they have on the lot because that way it quickly goes back on the roadway. And
so I guess there's a number of car dealers and salesmen who are happy with this program and don't have much bad things because it's stimulated.
Everybody's been positive about it. In fact, even from the beginning, with 136 pages of rules, I think people didn't mind reading through that because they knew that the program offered such potential. But I don't think anybody expected the $1 billion of the program to be expended and exhausted in the first week or so.
Now, we know that one of the questions come up. We know that we ran out of money.
The first round.
$1 billion. Mm-hmm. And then now we've fortunately had it reallocated. The question I have is, how does Hawaii, is it a free for all of that $2 billion, or does the government allocate X number? How does that work? Can you explain?
Well, it would be first come, first serve. If we could sell $2 billion, I guess we could have at it.
I see.
You have to thank our entire congressional delegation, our two senators, Inouye and Akaka, and two people in the House, Hirono and Abercrombie. They all voted to support this system. I think they knew how much it could help the economy. It could help rejuvenate Hawaii's ailing auto industry. Mm-hmm. And it helps in three ways. They would call them the three E's. It helps the economy, it helps the environment, and it helps energy, reducing dependence on fossil fuel.
Right, and we need to do that. And but I was just curious because, you know, if everybody's hurriedly, so that the word is to get out there. If you want to participate in this program, you can't think too long because other states, 50 other states are aggressively selling, and there's no limit, they're not allocated.
That's true. In fact, it's fascinating to see all the other states, and they were sort of racing to see who could, get involved in the program first. Hawaii, I think, viewed it with a great deal of caution in the beginning, because, again, we didn't have sodium silicate immediately available here. So there was, in the beginning, you had to disable the vehicle before you could apply for the cash, for the reimbursement to the dealer, the federal cash reimbursement for the discount the dealer provides to the mm-hmm. consumer. But there's a little bit of worry because the money could have been gone before this process took place, and then you would have a bunch of vehicles on your lot that you would need to explain to customers, we've seen the money run out. But now that there's been an infusion of $2 billion, we think it'll continue for a little while.
All right, so what I'm going to ask you to do to kind of conceal my shallow understanding of this, what I want you to do is that tell the listeners out there some of the important things that they know and they should know, and I have your list here. If you could just go through them, take your time, and because I think a lot of people that I've talked to, they're really wanting to do this. But the question is, you know, how do I navigate this? So if you don't mind.
Sure. I can give some brief guidelines with regard to it. First of all, before we begin any project in our office, we ask, we bring the group together, and we ask, we have a big fish on the wall, and we ask, what's the porpoise? And so what was the porpoise of Cash for Clunkers? Well, it was to remove a lot of inefficient vehicles from the roadways and replace them with more efficient vehicles. So one manufacturer, for example, Toyota, found that the trade-in vehicles had an average mile per gallon was about 15.5 miles per gallon. The new vehicles purchased ran around 30 miles per gallon. So that program and that one manufacturer now was doubling the amount of mileage that vehicles delivered for consumers. So the first thing you have to know is that there's about 30,000 model types spanning 25 years that qualify for this. Now, that's a lot of model types. So when people say, oh, I checked to see if my clunker qualified for the $4,500 rebate, actually a $4,500 discount when you buy the car, they found that it didn't, but there still were 30,000 that could. So the car must be 25 years old at the time of trade-in, under 25 years old at the time of trade-in. You must, in general, have a clunker that gets 18 miles per gallon or less. So in the example I used, I just looked up this morning, it was an Eldorado Caddy, a 1984 Caddy, got 16 miles per gallon. Mm-hmm. And that Caddy owner, when you go to cars.gov and want to compare it to the vehicle purchased, that person wanted to purchase a Ford hybrid that was a Escape hybrid, a 2009 hybrid. and that got 32 miles per gallon. Now, that was a difference of 16 miles per gallon, so that person then qualified for the $4,500 rebate. And also, that person qualified for the hybrid tax credit of $1,500. So you add those two together, that's $6,000 off the $30,000 purchase price. That's a 20% savings.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to do it all before November 1st or before the cash runs out. And now the $1 billion, they went through that in about a little over a week. The first billion, now $2 billion has been infused, and there's still quite a bit of activity. And as more and more people find out, I think there will be a continuance. So you either get $3,500 if your vehicle in general gets 4 miles per gallon over the old one. If your new vehicle you purchase gets 4 miles per gallon greater, if it gets 10 miles per gallon greater, you get $4,500.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like finding $4,500 in the driveway on that that car that you had been using. And for SUVs and pickups, owners can get a $3,500 rebate if it gets 2 miles per gallon more than the old vehicle, and they can get $4,500 if it gets 5 miles per gallon over the old vehicle. There are quite a few caveats to that whole thing. There are quite a few rules and restrictions, and they're easy. It's really easy to do. You go to cars.gov, and you just click on, you know, I'd like to compare my car, and you compare your car to the car you want to purchase. It tells you the miles per gallon difference and what kind of rebate you're entitled to.
Now, can all dealerships or manufacturers participate in Cash for Clunkers?
Yes, there are 28 that are authorized new vehicle makers, and pretty much everybody in Hawaii is participating. I say pretty much because the vehicle has to be $45,000 or less MSRP, base manufacturer suggested retail price. So there are some high-end cars that are considerably above that.
Now, you know, I'm quite active in the environmental community and always concerned. Now, is the dealerships or the manufacturers also, while doing this, going to focus on, continue to focus on alternative means of fuel, like electric, solar, and all? Does this, are we going to go back to our old ways, or is this just an incentive to keep us going?
Every manufacturer is focused on moving us away from fossil fuel. You can see the hybrid was a transition vehicle to do that. There's a great movement toward electric vehicles, plug-in electrics. In fact, I've heard Hawaii called the potential electric car capital of the world.
So
manufacturers are looking at how to do that and how to help transition. I think it relates almost so much to the price of gas. If we go up to $4 per gallon like we did before, there'll be a tremendous movement towards smaller cars and more fuel-efficient cars. If gas stays at a lower rate, let's say around $60 per barrel, and it stays around $3 then per gallon, I think people will transition, but not as rapidly. So it's a matter of how rapid will we transition. Will it be a generation, half a generation of drivers, or a fourth of a generation of drivers?
Well, you know, also one of the other things, you know, we had a housing crisis with people giving big deals. You walk in and you can buy an 8-story home but you couldn't pay for it. What safeguards are the dealerships and the manufacturing based on this Clunkers have in place to avoid the overzealous lender? To, you know, you go in and bring your cash for Clunkers, and then you overextend yourself. You really can't afford to pay for it. Is there any concerns with that?
Well, the lenders use credit scores to make their decisions, and so lenders don't become overzealous if people have low credit scores. There's just no value in them doing that. If anything, there was some concern that lenders aren't lending enough money and as quickly as possible. I think that now has changed a little bit. In fact, we've talked to most of the lenders, and you know, there's billions and billions of dollars available now to lend, and at good rates. That's the other thing about this program that just amazed me when I started analyzing how General Motors helped America get back on its feet after 9/11 with zero interest loans. Mm-hmm. I see very low interest loans on many of the vehicles too. So you get to stack up the purchasing power that you have. You get the $4,500 in many cases, mm-hmm. that is put on the hood by the government. You get sometimes $2,000 in savings from cash credit. Tax credit, excuse me, for having a fuel-efficient vehicle. And then you get to deduct the excise tax. That's a law that mm-hmm. Senator Noy helped us pass through a colloquy on the floor of the Senate. And then you get the discount that the manufacturer offers, too. So sometimes manufacturers have offered a $4,500 matching discount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you want to have any questions for Dave Roth, Executive Director of the Hawaii Automobile Dealers Association, please feel free to call in at 524-1080. Now, the car allowance rebate system, how fast of a process will this take now? You know, we know we're soliciting people. How fast will I, as a consumer, walk in that door and come out? How long can you give me an
sure, answer? It depends on how fast you can go to the drawer and find some of those old documents, because there is a conga line of cars, of clunkers, waiting to be processed at the dealerships. Generally, if you can bring forward your insurance, proof of it for a year, mm-hmm. If you can bring forward proof that you've had the car registered for a year, if you can have a lien release document that shows you've paid off the lien on the car or have the title, mm-hmm. those three documents, then bring the vehicle and run a quick lap on cars.gov to see mm-hmm. if your vehicle qualifies, and the dealer will help you do that too. In fact, really, the dealer takes care of everything, submitting the paperwork, telling you the value of your vehicle on the trade-in and things like that. So, mm-hmm. And that'll generally be zero, by the way, because those vehicles are going to be crushed. But and then the dealer can help with you find the new car, help find you a new car, and then everything. The dealer actually, in the beginning, some dealers spent 12, 15 hours trying to get the first ones through. Now I understand that process for them. After you leave the lot, they do the processing. Takes them an hour and a half to 3 hours or so to get it through the system.
We got a caller on the line. John, good morning. How are you?
Yes, good morning. I wanted to ask, what is a hybrid car? Can you explain that to me?
Well, there's a full hybrid, and there's a sometimes called medium hybrid.
Can you hold this now? Listen to you off the air if you don't mind. It's hard,
sure.
Hard for me to hear you. Okay?
Thank you.
Sure. A hybrid car, a good example of that would be like the Toyota Prius, and it uses both a gas engine and an electric engine. The gasoline engine to regenerate the battery, and then the electric engine to help at slower speeds and get up to higher speeds. In the medium hybrids, I'm not as clear on that because I'm not a dealer myself, by the way. I work mainly with the laws relating to automotive. But there are transition vehicles that may be around for as long as a generation, by the way, using both gas engines and electric engines together. Eventually, I think we'll get to full plug-in electric that will operate fully on the battery.
All right.
Hope that helped.
Yeah. How do a dealer let people, or how does the people know that a certain dealer is participating? Is there any signs?
Sure.
How do they identify?
Everybody just needs to go to cars.gov and press the button dealers, and it lists all the dealers that are participating. You can also go to our website, hawaiiautodealers.com, to find a dealer. It has all the phone numbers in there, mm-hmm. and pretty much everyone is participating. And by the way, I appreciate John asking that question about hybrids. I had wanted to know that question myself, and so I was able to drive one for about 10 days recently, and they sure offer a lot of feedback to you in the cockpit of the, mm-hmm. of the car with regard to whether you're operating on the electric engine or back up on the gas engine.
Yeah, some of these questions that I have, they're, you know, I don't want to assume that everyone knows everything out there, so if we sound a little elementary, you know, I because I thought I knew cash for clunkers. Real easy deal, but I've learned, since learned, there's some things that you have to know, and it's not bad. It's just that you need to know them, like when the year of the manufacturing of the car occurred, and how does one determine that?
You can just open up the car, and there on the post, it shows when the car was manufactured, and that helps. And so it needs to be from 1984 on. I think a lot of people don't realize that the gross vehicle weight rating is right there, and that helps on some of the bigger vehicles. You'll need to know that information.
What was that date again now?
The car has to be less than 25 years old.
Okay.
So you would look on the inside of the car door, and it would tell you the month and the date that the car was manufactured. And then you can just do that calculation and figure out if yours qualifies.
How do I determine the mileage? How can I...
Combine
highway and city. How do I do it? Do I just trust the dealer? Or?
No, that's all done on site, on the website, at the fueleconomy.gov site, but actually it's actually linked and woven into the cars.gov site. So let's say, for example, that you had an 84 Cadillac Eldorado. You would just do the pull-down menus and click till you typed in Cadillac. I mean, actually, you would click on Cadillac, then you'd click on that model, and then it would show you that it gets 16 miles per gallon, and then that makes a comparison to the vehicle you want to purchase, and you'd say, okay, I want to purchase a Ford, and that would be a Ford Escape Hybrid, mm-hmm. and it shows you, that gets 32 miles per gallon. It actually does the calculation and says that's a 16 mile per gallon difference, and thus it says you may qualify for the $4,500 credit. And that just takes a matter of minutes, just a couple minutes.
Now, some of my listeners out there are deathly afraid of computers. How do they access this information? Just find a dealer, walk in, and...
Sure. All the dealers, computers right there, can sit you right down and show everything about your car and everything about the car you want to purchase.
So there's no excuse. You don't need to know WordPerfect or navigating the...
not a lot of computer skills involved in this. In fact, if I could do that this morning, I ran several comparisons. And frankly, it was fun. I just thought... Here's a program that usually would take 2 years to put together with regard to rules. The president signed this program June 24th. It had to launch July 24th with the rules. So in 30 days, they had to put together enough rules to launch a D-Day invasion, for example, or a launch to the moon. It's 136 pages of regulations.
And you pulled it off in 30 days.
30 days. Hats off to them.
This is government work?
It was bumpy. It was bumpy, and a lot of people kind of rolled their eyes. But, anything that involved, imagine 30,000 different vehicles. Imagine 300 million Americans.
And 50 states.
And all these 20,000 auto dealers. And all the drivers out there, and imagine all those moving parts, and then all those salvage yards. There were 7,700 of them, and they all had to have coordination. All that had to coordinate. And the website, sort of glad we all lived long enough to see all something come together like that. It was a fantastic program.
It sounds like the Obama magic here working. I like that.
It was, I think, a lot of people, the Congress and the administration. But, the National Auto Dealers Association did a lot to help them understand the issues relating to vehicles.
That's great. And does this apply to lease vehicles?
It does, but you have to lease the vehicle for at least 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And so a person that normally leases can participate in this. And how do they have to bring in their old car, or how does that work?
Well, the trade-in, they have to own that trade-in, and so that has to be removed from the roadways. So
okay.
If they bring in the title for that vehicle, by the way, then it's stamped with junkautomobile-cars.gov, and that title's put in the windshield, and that vehicle eventually goes to a salvage yard. In fact, quite quickly goes to a salvage yard.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I've been driving my little car around looking good, and then in 5 minutes they stamp junk on it. There goes my sweet.
That's the hard part. I know. We all do love our cars. I think, especially the people that have names for their cars, it's hard to give up one with a name.
Well, Jezebel, I'm giving you up. Or Mary, I'm giving you up because you're junk.
reluctance for that, but... Well, it is quite a good change for the economy, the environment, and for getting us off fossil fuel.
Is there a cap on the price of a car that I can buy?
The highest priced car you can buy is the manufacturer suggested retail price of $45,000, so it has to be below that. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the base price before you add on destination charge and anything you want to add on the vehicle, like a moonroof, for example, and tax and license.
And does it apply if I want to buy a used car? Does it apply?
It's only for new cars, so, you know, 2008, 9, and 10. If a car is still on the lot and it's a 2008 model, you can purchase that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a car that hasn't been titled to someone else.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. And I'm here with Dave Roth, Executive Director of the Hawaii Automobile Dealers Association, talking about cash for clunkers. And we'll be right back. 524-1080.
This is Bill Holloman with the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship Fund. We send young people, deserving young people, to college. Please contact me, 206-963-5663 or 253-852-7237 at the address 9240 South 240th Place, Kent, Washington, 98030. Your donations are appreciated, helping send young kids to school. Thank you.
Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Jefferson, the book Red Tail Captured, Red Tail Free, Memoirs of a Tuskegee Airman, Prisoner of War in Germany for 9 months, $32. Contact me, 18126 Brinker Street, Detroit, Michigan, 48234, or call me, 313-368-0674. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, and again, you can call in at 524-1080 or you can pick up some of this information at cars.com. And later on, if you, I'm going to be talking, you can go to carolcox.com for more information on other stories. You can send us an email at carol@carolcox.com. That's C-A-R-R-O-L-L. Okay, Dave, got a question for you. Will this benefit that I guess is Cash for Clunkers program cost me in any way tax? How am I impacted on tax-wise?
The federal government rules said that there is no tax to the consumer for the $4,500. In other words, there's no income tax restriction. I mean, implications of that. So no.
Okay.
So. To the dealer, it's considered as gross income when there is the reimbursement of that amount of money. Mm. But it's offset against the expense, of course, with the $4,500 reduction in the value of the vehicle.
Okay. So there, you don't get the $4,500, and then you get taxed on it. That's good.
You don't
get
taxed on the $4,500. Furthermore, you get a tax credit in many cases, like as I outlined, a $1,500 one for that purchase of a hybrid, for example, or a fuel-efficient vehicle, and you get to deduct the excise tax on next year's tax return. Now, you have to see your tax advisor on that, so there's mm-hmm. even some tax savings okay. when you purchase a new car now.
Okay. Well, I would like to ask you to tell the listeners out there
sum up the basics.
The good
sure.
points there.
You'll need to have proof of ownership that you own the car for a year, so you'll have to bring in your current registration and maybe the one prior to that. You'll have to have proof of insurance for a year, so you'll have to have that or get that from an insurance company. You'll need to have your title. You can check on the inside of the door of the car to see if it's under 25 years old, and then you'll have to go on to cars.gov to see if your car gets around 18 miles per gallon or less, or at 18 miles per gallon or less.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And that's a general guideline, I say.
Trucks are included in this?
There are. There's a Category 1 truck, Category 2, and Category 3, and that has to do with gross vehicle weight ratings. But in general, the cars and trucks have to be 18 miles per gallon that you're trading in or less. And then you can, again, all that calculation, the complexity of the law is all done online just by inserting the car that you want to purchase or the truck that you want to purchase. And SUVs, minivans, trucks, even large trucks are included, yes.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you,
well, thank you.
Sharing with us.
It's been a pleasure.
Hopefully, if you have any questions, again, can you give them contact information for that's cars.gov?
I just have to say that we've told everyone, go to cars.gov. And that's the best way to find out everything you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I think we got a caller. We'll see what the question is. And but anyway, the work trucks, does it apply to work trucks? You mentioned Category 1, 2, and what have you.
It does apply to work trucks. Now, some mm-hmm. of those trucks, which are between 8,500 and 10,000 pounds, those big work trucks, so those big cargo beds of 72 inches or longer, they don't have mile per gallon restrictions or applicability here. So you have to go on the website and just
okay.
see how that works. Regular pickup trucks fit into the program very, very easily. The gross vehicle weight ratings below 8,500 pounds. And again, a wheelbase under 115 inches. I know I'm getting a little complex, but that's why it's so easy to use the website.
Our listeners understand it. They're,
sure.
We got some heavyweight, smart thinkers out there. So,
I know.
Now, got a call now on Ed. Ed, are you there?
Ellen, quick question. Was a car still being financed that you want to get rid of?
Thank you, Ed. Yes, if you can show a lien release for the vehicle, they will be able to process it. So you'd have to make sure the vehicle has been paid off and then get a lien release from the bank, and then the feds will accept that.
Mm-hmm. No, what I meant was the car still being financed? Will the dealer refinance the car you want to buy, the new car?
Yes. In fact, the dealer will help in coordinating the lien release for you. You'll have to get that from the bank. Again, and then you can pay off the old vehicle and buy the new vehicle using the finance that you can qualify for.
Everything. Thank you.
You bet.
Hey, Ed, thanks. Good hearing from you again. Aloha. Curtis, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. Thought I'd just check in, say hello, and say that I believe the themes that we've been listening to all day have been dependence versus independence.
Uh-huh.
I think you're making the case that we're becoming dependent on the success of the automobile industry to
right.
have a viable economy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not participating. I don't want to be dependent on any more rules,
mm-hmm.
any more regulation. I don't want to be dependent on a service manager, on a tire full of air, on money to pay for the gas. I ain't playing. I'm not going to have an automobile. I'm
uh-huh.
going to give up my apartment. I don't want to have a landlord. I don't want to have neighbors spying on me.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to live a free and independent life and really going to look forward to my total and ultimate independence from this situation called the earth, plane, and humanity by passing away. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Curtis.
Goodbye.
All right, aloha. Well, you know, the what we have is many situations, and some people have approached me and said, hey, you know, this car's for clunkers, our cash for clunkers is just a ruse. But the meantime, we know our economy is taking it in the shorts, and we also know many, but we have a dependency on oil and foreign oil, and if we got to do everything, you know, and that's why I personally, you know, it's, I believe that anything and everything to get us to that point where we are not dependent on, as he's saying, foreign oil or addicted to it, and that's, it's going to take some real quick thinking and some.
Well, the title of the program has cars in its name, but the reality is it really should have oil in its name, because the focus is on oil.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, helping wean the United States away from fossil fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And by moving cars to a higher efficient fleet on the American roadways, it'll do that. And the example going from 15 mile per gallon to 30 mile per gallon, that saves half the amount of fuel that vehicle was using before. And so that's really what the focus is,
yeah.
is getting us off of foreign oil. And I'll just say one more thing, too. The focus is moving toward energy that we can make.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Hawaii, we have the wind energy, wave energy, sun, thermal. Wonderful energy that we could make ourselves, and
mm-hmm.
then it would be Hawaii made, and we would eventually keep $2 billion on shore. And in a $66 billion economy, $2 billion on shore is enough to get it back rolling again and operating on all the cylinders.
Yeah, and the reality is, and as Curtis raised some of the issues, the reality is our economy is based on, when you turn on the radio, it talks about the housing market. New housing startups and automobile, that's the reality.
Making something.
Making
our
something.
Economy is, it's a consumer-based economy now, but it would be nice if we could make the things that we
yeah.
consume.
But we are having to do these things because that's the nature of things.
And the nature of an economy.
Yeah.
Again, two-thirds of the economy runs on consumer spending, but if you could make the energy that
mm-hmm.
you were using,
mm-hmm.
just think how that would benefit Hawaii, the nation, if you will, everything.
Right. Well, you know, I would love to drive down the road and contribute to no waste, no pollution or anything. I mean, that's, I would love that. But on the other hand, that is not upon us now, but we're working toward that.
Moving toward it.
And, you know, I don't think anybody, John is back on the line. John, good morning.
Yes, I was wondering, how do you recharge these hybrid engines? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, the battery's recharged through kinetic energy. When you hit the brake, John, that takes that forward motion of the vehicle and runs a generator that helps run the recharge the battery. Also, the gasoline engine helps to recharge the battery, too. So that's the beauty of those hybrids. And again, they'll be with us for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, there'll be plug-ins, direct plug-in vehicles that'll be recharged at your home or at work through just a simple plug-in, and usually a 220 to go a little bit faster. And that energy will come perhaps eventually from Lanai or the Big Island across a cable, undersea cable, over to the Hawaii smart grid, and then put into your home and office to recharge a battery vehicle. Now, the hybrids become the transition to get us toward that full plug-in electric vision, I think, that the governor has and that many people have. In fact, manufacturers are moving toward full plug-in electrics. But for right now, the batteries are recharged by the energy bleed-off through the brake system or by the gasoline engine in the vehicle. I hope that helped, John.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate your help.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Anytime, John. Thanks for listening. All right. Well, regardless, consumers are going to demand certain things, and then there are others who just can't afford to pay, you know, for the hybrids and all of that at this time, but they can buy the more fuel-efficient cars. That's a reality, and we got to learn to live with that, because we can't dictate to some, well, because you can't afford, so you got to give up your car, no more driving with gas. I mean, I would never want to invoke such a rule.
Well, power is a central theme of the Cash for Clunkers. Purchasing power, that $4,500 you found in the driveway helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The deducting the tax is purchasing power, because you can deduct it next year on your 2010 return. You have to see your tax advisor on that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's an additional cash rebate that's provided by the manufacturer. That's more purchasing power. And then there's tax credits. So add all those up, and I don't think there's ever been a time that there has been more handed to the consumer with regard to purchasing power than right now. And that's why there's such a transition to new vehicles.
Right. Well, Dave, thank you. And if you have any, please contact me. And if you got any more information for us, let us
know. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it. Dave Roth with the Hawaii Automobile Dealers Association, talking Cash for Clunkers. All righty. Well, thank you. Well, hopefully that helps some. I know many of you have sent me emails and approached me on the street, and we engage in this conversation. And I thought, well, why not call someone in and ask them to come in? I'm glad that Mr. Roth was willing to come in and talk. He didn't know if he was coming into the Lion's Den or the Kitty Cat Club, but he came, and I'm happy for that. And I hope that helped some of you give a better understanding. And again, you can go to cars.gov and get information on that. But in the coming week, I got a couple things. You may have seen a basic story of it so far on news. KHON did a story regarding a gentleman drowning at the Duke Kahanamoku Lagoon. And, folks, there are some concerns with this, the handling of this. I've spoken to the gentleman who actually attempted to rescue this gentleman, a local gentleman who drowned there at the lagoon. And without getting in all of the details, you can go. We'll post some of the information today at carolcox.com. And there's a number of things. For example, it is stated the medical examiner's office classifies the death as a near drowning. Now, my listeners out there, I know that you're smarter than that. And if you, next week, if you'd like to join in, I'd like to know, if someone dies from drowning, how can it be classified as a near drowning? I don't know. The land is owned by the DLNR and the Hilton Corporation. The question is, this incident occurred on July 30th. And they said that he died on July 30. He was pronounced dead on July 31st. But the people that rescued him attempted for several minutes, and he was underwater, I'm told, at least 5 to 7 minutes or longer. And the gentleman I've interviewed, one of the gentlemen that actually participated in the rescue, and it's very interesting what transpired. He describes the gentleman's legs being sucked into the pipe there, the drain there in the lagoon. But if you notice, you've heard not much about this, and the DLNR called me. I had called down to ask them to come down and shut this off, because 8 days later, I have photographs and video of the children playing on the drain. And there was no cordoning off, no marking, no roping, no fencing, and there were no lifeguards. So I hope that you guys can join in, and we'll ask some of the questions, some of the harder-hitting questions as to what is the term near drowning? Why would it take you a day to determine later, to determine or pronounce a person dead or deceased from near drowning? there's something's going on wrong here. And just yesterday or day before, there was a minor announcement, a follow-up news story that said that the Hilton claimed that everything was fine, but I'd been informed this coming week that they're bringing experts in to look at the drain. So we want to know what is actually going on with this. And again, I have video, and just so you'll know, if you look at there's a portion of the video, we'll demonstrate how there's two children playing, attempting to catch some fish for bait, and they have a bucket, and it couldn't be more clearly demonstrated, and you'll see this bucket spinning from the vortex of this. I will describe it as a whirlpool, as one of the kids says, look, Mom, here's a whirlpool over here. So we need to ask some questions of our Department of Land and Natural Resources and our medical examiner. And when we've asked this information, they gave us the basic, and we wanted more. And they said, well, it'll take us 6 to 8 weeks to get you the report. The problem is you've already pronounced the person dead, and you say it was from, quote, a near drowning. So you listeners out there, if you've got any concerns or would like to join in next week, we'll talk briefly about it. But thank you, and we're going to get out of here, and I'll see you next week. Go to carolcox.com for more information today on cars.gov or Cash for Clunkers, and also for this story we'll be posting. Aloha and thank you.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.